This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A White House line in the sand. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, March 24, welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
President Trump has issued an ultimatum on the Obamacare replacement. He wants a vote, and if it fails, he'll move on to other priorities.
A British-born man is identified as the Islamist terrorist responsible for the vehicle rampage in London.
At the NCAA tournament, Xavier takes down Arizona to advance to the Elite Eight. Four more games on tap today.
And Huggies wading into the sticky subject of getting parents to buy pull-ups instead of traditional diapers.
For the company, it's really, really, you know, it's good financially if they can sell more training pants, and they want parents to buy more training pants, but at the same time, I think they're well aware of the fact that they can't really go out there and say that or try to push a behavior change in children just to sell more product.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sharon Turlip on Huggies entering what she calls a parenting minefield. She's here in about 20 minutes. An ultimatum from President Trump to House Republicans. Take a vote on the Obamacare replacement bill. I'm done negotiating. It's a tough spot because House Republicans aren't certain they have the votes to pass the measure. If it fails to pass, the president said that Obamacare stays in place and Mr. Trump will move on. House GOP leaders postponed a planned vote yesterday as defections mounted both among the most conservative lawmakers and Republican centrists. Even after a day of intense lobbying by Mr. Trump, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows is head of a conservative group called the House Freedom Caucus.
We're certainly trying to get to yes, but indeed we've made very reasonable requests, and we're hopeful that those reasonable requests will be listened to.
House leaders had started the day with about 30 lawmakers in opposition. They can only afford to lose 22. The bill's defeat, by the way, would deliver a rebuke to House Speaker Paul Ryan, who has insisted that Republicans will either embrace the GOP health care plan or accept ownership for the status quo. Let's get an update now on what's been going on from Mike Lillis, senior writer at The Hill. He joins us live this morning. Morning, Mike. Take us into what happened late in the evening yesterday.
Well, you know, Gordon, it was one of those chaotic days that really seems to verify that old adage about the sausage making being ugly. And, of course, this is high stakes for Ryan and Trump, and they're really scrambling to get these votes. It was just chaos. It was, you know, Trump coming to the Capitol on Tuesday, White House coming to the Capitol last night, Steve Bannon, Rince Priebus, Mick Mulvaney. They had canceled a number of meetings all through the day. Speaker Ryan had canceled a couple press conferences just because, you know, they didn't have any updates to give anybody. And there at the end, everybody's scratching their head. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? And it turned out that Mick Mulvaney was the one to deliver the message, and that was no coincidence because he's well-liked. He's a former Freedom Caucus member, former South Carolina congressman who's well-liked within the Republican caucus. But his message was for those guys that, you know, his colleagues who were his close friends, are his close friends. And the ultimatum was clear. They weren't in that meeting very long at all. They must have been in there less than 10 minutes. And they said, you're voting tomorrow. If it fails, we're moving on. And that's kind of it. So, high stakes, big day today. And no one really knows if this thing's going to pass, including Speaker Ryan.
Wow. So what's the rush here? Why does it have to be done right now?
I think, you know, they had set up this arbitrary deadline because today is the 7-year anniversary of the signing of Obamacare. President Obama signed the Affordable Care Act into law in 2010, March 23rd, 2010. So this was sort of a poke in the eye to Obama. It was going to be symbolic. Yeah, you were able to pass it, but here's us taking it apart 7 years later.
Yeah.
And so there is no deadline. There really is no rush. You know, I think it speaks a little bit to the negotiating style of Donald Trump and kind of his impatience, the idea that he was going to come in, you know, on the campaign trail. He said he was going to repeal Obamacare on day one. This is sort of his day one, and he seems to be growing impatient, and he wants to do other things. And now you're seeing reports breaking yesterday that he's angry at himself for not doing tax reform first, which he thought would be a little bit easier to do now in retrospect. But the short answer is there is no deadline on this. They can do it at any time.
Okay.
And important to mention, he is making an ultimatum, but Congress can do whatever it wants. It's a separate branch of government.
Yeah.
It's not controlled by Donald Trump. He's not forcing anything on them at all. If Speaker Ryan didn't want to bring this vote, he didn't have to bring this vote. And so Donald Trump from the White House can start working on tax policy or anything else, and so can Congress. But that doesn't mean Congress has to stop working on health care reform. And if they're behind the scenes for the next several weeks, months, or years, whatever it takes, and they come up with a Obamacare repeal and replace bill that can pass, they can do just that, send it to the White House, and Trump is probably not going to sign it. He doesn't seem to care much about the policy. He just wants to make good on campaign promises. So, you know, be careful saying that this is an ultimatum in the sense that health reform is dead if it fails. That's not true. They can still do it. They can still return to it. It just be on a different timeline.
We're speaking live this morning with Mike Lillis, senior writer at The Hill. So is it safe to assume the votes are not there? That's why there was no vote yesterday and these negotiations seemingly deep into last night. Nothing scheduled for today.
Well, there is something scheduled for today. There's two votes scheduled for today. It'll be the rule this morning and then the vote on the bill. So, and again, the question is it going to pass? Do they have, they're going to need 215 votes to pass it. They've got 237, so they can lose 22. We've been keeping a whip list. It's been tough to keep because the bill keeps changing.
Sure.
They keep making tweaks to it, including some more changes that they made very late last night. And coming out of that meeting with Mulvaney and Bannon and Priebus, I would have guessed that the bill would fail because all the guys who said they were going to vote against it going in said they were going to vote against it going out. That includes the conservatives in the Freedom Caucus. That includes the moderates in the Tuesday group. But then last night we were at the Capitol until about 11 o'clock. The Freedom Caucus had huddled. And when they came out, and you know, they met with the White House yesterday and said, you know, in no uncertain terms that they were voting against it, and that meant that at least 80% of that group had voted to reject Trump's offer. When Mark Meadows, he's the head of the Freedom Caucus, came out of that meeting at 11 o'clock in the Capitol, he said, and he just looked defeated. He just looked tired. He looked beat up. He's the one who's been the face of the resistance.
Yep.
And he said, I'm not making a statement. We don't have a statement. You guys just go home and we'll see what happens tomorrow. So if there was any sense that there's an erosion in the opposition, that was the first we've seen. How significant significant that was, we don't know. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But he is telling his group now, just vote your conscience. And we'll see what that means today. But nobody knows if this thing's going to pass or not.
Wow. All right. It'll be interesting to watch these things unfold today. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate a few minutes. Mike Lillis, senior writer at The Hill. Well, there's a dispute between Democrats and Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee about the congressional investigation into alleged Russian interference in the election. Democrats want Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, a Republican from California, replaced. Mr. Nunes yesterday apologized to Democrats for not consulting with them before his surprise announcement Wednesday that U.S. intelligence agencies had intercepted information about people involved in the Trump transition team. California's Adam Schiff is the committee's ranking Democrat.
What concerns me is, we need to do a real investigation of this, and we need to do it credibly. We need to do it in a nonpartisan way, and we can't have our chair acting as a
compromise,
as a surrogate for the administration.
Yeah. The Intelligence Committee would handle a probe into whether Russia tried to help Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. An assessment earlier this year concluded that the Kremlin intervened, a charge that both President Trump and the Russian government deny. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump wants the Republican Obamacare replacement plan to go to a vote today at all costs. White House officials made the demand during a meeting with House Republicans. Speaker Paul Ryan said afterward the bill will go to a vote today, even though there are doubts about whether there are enough votes to pass it. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says this probably could have been thought out better.
I don't know if you want to call this, on Trump's part, a rookie's error. But you don't find a day and say we're going to pass a bill. You build your consensus in your caucus, and when you're ready, you set the date to bring it to the floor.
Battle lines are pitched over Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, too. New York's Chuck Schumer is the Senate Democratic leader, and he calls Gorsuch insufficiently independent. Schumer's statement sets a stage for a Democratic filibuster as the nomination needs 60 votes to move forward. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer here.
If this nominee cannot earn 60 votes, a bar met by each of President Obama's nominees and George Bush's last two nominees, the answer isn't to change the rules. It's to change the nominee.
Republicans could change Senate rules by invoking the so-called nuclear option, lowering the 60-vote rule to a simple majority. The Senate passed a measure that digital activists say threatens online privacy on a party-line vote. The Senate voted to block landmark rules approved just last year that would restrict how some big tech companies share and sell users' personal data. London's top terror officer identifies the man who attacked Britain's parliament, killing four and wounding dozens, as Khalid Massoud, but says he was born Adrian Russell Ajao in southeastern England, where he lived most of his life. Counter-terror chief Mark Rowley also announced today there have been two other significant arrests, bringing the total number of people in custody for the Wednesday attack to nine. Deliberations resume today in the criminal trial of former Penn State University president Graham Spanier. He faces child endangerment and conspiracy charges in the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse scandal. His lawyers called no witnesses to counter accusations. He acted illegally in handling a 2001 complaint about former assistant football coach Sandusky showering with a boy. Uber CEO is pledging to make diversity a top priority for the ride-sharing company. Travis Kalanick made that promise during a meeting yesterday with civil rights leader Jesse Jackson. Uber's reputation took some hits after negative revelations about its corporate culture and business practices.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's talk about wine for just a moment, specifically Cameron Hughes wine. I've been a fan for some time. Cameron has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all over the world. He takes what they're not going to bottle, puts it in his own bottle, slaps his label on it, and you get luxury wine at an affordable price, and all the bottles are guaranteed. If you're not happy, he'll make it right. And right now, Cameron Hughes has an exclusive offer for our listeners. You get free shipping on your order and a free sommelier-grade corkscrew. It's a great deal to try wines that are already up to 50% off because they are sold directly to you. It's a no-brainer to try Cameron Hughes wine. Free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew at chwine.com and enter the code DEAL. chwine.com and the code DEAL. Don't wait. It is a limited time offer. The wine is fantastic. The deal's great. I want you to go online and order it today. chwine.com with the code DEAL. Glad you're with us, and a good Friday to you. The company behind Huggies is wading into the messy debate over when to start toilet training. Kimberly Clark has benefited as more parents opt for Huggies pull-ups disposable training pants over less expensive diapers. Sales of pull-ups grew by double digits in 2015 and again in 2016, offsetting a decline in diaper sales. What's up here? An explanation from Wall Street Journal reporter Sharon Turlip. Sharon, what do we have?
One of the things that came out in the most recent sales call for Kimberly Clark, which of course makes Huggies diapers, is that their sales of their pull-ups training pants were up much more than their diapers. Sales of actual traditional diapers were down. So this is an exciting dynamic for them.
I thought it was interesting, too. You said that some see this as a good sign for the economy. Why?
Well, because the training pants, the pull-ups, are so much more expensive than the diapers, so they're a lot more profitable. So, you know, a box of about 70 pull-ups you can get for $25 or so, you get 140 diapers for that amount. So you're talking about almost twice as expensive product.
Wow. All right. So explain, I guess, what the companies are saying or doing or demonstrating when it comes to, say, using diapers or the pull-ups.
Sure. I mean, it's a somewhat delicate topic because there's few things more personal to parents other than potty training and the types of products they use for their kids. So for the company, it's really, really, you know, it's good financially if they can sell more training pants, and they want parents to buy more training pants. But at the same time, I think they're well aware of the fact that they can't really go out there and say that or try to push behavior change in children just to sell more product.
Right, right. So they're not out there saying, if your kid's not potty trained by 4, your kid's a loser. They can't take up
that. that would probably backfire.
All right. So you mentioned the Huggies from Kimberly-Clark. What about on the Pampers side of things?
Sure. Pampers, which is Kimberly-Clark's big rival in the U.S., Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble was actually pretty late to the market with their training pants. So they're still nowhere near the market share that that Pull-Ups has, but they've been growing too. And I think there's been a lot of they've been doing a lot of marketing. There's sales out there in the marketplace, so there's some real competition now in that area.
What are some of the phrases that are being used? I think I saw one from Huggies that said something along the lines like, diapers are for babies, pull-ups are for big kids. Is that supposed to be some sort of incentive for the child?
Yeah, I think it's an incentive for they're giving parents something they can incentivize the child with. So you've probably heard the commercial, you know, you're a big kid now. So this whole idea of, you know, this is a life transition and a milestone. I think they figure if the message gets out there to parents, the parents will get the message to their kids.
Thanks, Sharon. Wall Street Journal reporter Sharon Turlip. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Friday, March 24, Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump issues an ultimatum on the health care proposal. Schumer urges Dems to vote no on Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court. TMZ says an animated Kardashian TV show has been pitched with cartoonish characters. Isn't that appropriate? Four more NCAA tournament games this evening. USA men's soccer desperate for a World Cup qualifying win tonight. Bears appear to be the early Super Bowl favorites after signing Mark Sanchez. And the fake IRS agent who tried to scam a cop. That story in about 20 minutes. Whatever the reason for President Trump's embrace of House Republicans' plan to replace Obamacare, it has sunk him and House Speaker Paul Ryan nationally and threatens the Republican majority in 2018. That's the position of Ryan Gadursky, senior writer at Red Alert Politics, who has been, by the way, an avid Trump supporter. Ryan, your take.
I think that, I mean, with the Obamacare repeal, I mean, what did he run on? He ran partly on Obamacare, but he ran to a great degree on just trying to get the basics repealed of Obamacare. But it was more about infrastructure, immigration, and trade. That was his three big issues. I don't know why we're focusing on tax cuts this year and not immigration. While, you know, we don't know what the future will hold, if the Republicans will have a majority in 2020, hopefully they will, in 2019, rather. Hopefully they will, but there's no guarantee. Why aren't we passing the RAISE Act, which is Tom Cotton's bill to reduce legal immigration? Why are we still accepting more DACA recipients every single solitary day? Why haven't we capped the DACA recipients so that there's no new ones? The border wall is starting the construction process, so I give him credit there. But on so many things, there is on H-1B visas, why isn't that being reformed? There's so many things that Trump could be doing, should be doing, that he's not, because we're going to be focusing on tax cuts. He didn't even run on tax cuts. And in fact, he said that the rich should be paying more in several different instances. So I don't understand what is going on. I think this is Paul Ryan's agenda. I think it's a gigantic mistake to follow Paul Ryan's agenda. He's a constant loser. And I'm very afraid the Trump presence is going to be co-opted, and we're going to possibly lose the majority in the House in 2019, or have such a slim majority that really nothing could get done.
Wow. So how did this happen, I guess, where so much attention got put on repealing and replacing Obamacare? What happened?
You know, I don't know. I think that from what I heard from any of my inside sources I had was that there was pressure on him that he had to do something this year, that it was what the Republicans ran on, and I understand that kind of pressure. I don't understand how he was okay with Ryan walking into a back room with House leadership and creating this bill that literally no one likes. Moderates don't like it. Conservatives don't like it. There's no Democrat supporting it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think that it's absolutely floundering. It's hurt his reputation tremendously. If you look at his poll numbers are falling not because Democrats or independents are really, I mean, some independents are, but not because Democrats and independents are leaving him. It's because Republicans are leaving him.
All right, so you mentioned pushing the restart button. What about that politically? Is that a political possibility and or reality?
You know, I think so. I think that there's a very, very good chance that Gorsuch is going to be passed. They have 53 votes right now, including one Democrat. There's 18 toss-up votes, and they need 7 more. So there's a very good chance Gorsuch will surpass the filibuster. But he needs something to really win back some Democrats. I think that he should just go forward on the infrastructure bill on his own. Sit there, get Democrats and Republicans together. Everyone loves an infrastructure bill. Get that going right away if you really want this huge infrastructure plan.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Gudurski, senior writer at Red Alert Politics. Again, an opinion piece there. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into a Friday. Time for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. And we're joined now live by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. Obviously, Charlotte, London in the news this week.
Good morning, Gordon. And yes, starting off the week with a bit of somber news. We saw people turning to Google to find out more information about the tragic terror attack in front of the UK Parliament in London and to find out developments in the days that have followed. Obviously, pretty serious news, and we're staying on top of any developments on our end to just keep track of what people are searching and what we know and what we don't know.
On a lighter note, in sports, is it the NCAA men's basketball tournament?
Some people say it like that, but we say the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Pretty popular this time of year because it's March Madness, and the final 16 teams are taking to the courts to see who wins. Funnily enough, search interest in bracket reached its highest point ever on Google this basketball season. So it looks like some of you might be in the running to win some money in your office pool.
But we'll never admit it, though, right? Can't admit that.
I have 3 brackets, Gordon.
What?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I do. I'm pretty good. Not to brag.
I thought you were attractive before. Now I think you're really attractive.
Aw, thanks.
3 brackets. Man, who do you have in the finals? Are you still doing well?
Well, I have the Jayhawks in the finals for one of them and Duke in the other two, so you can say I'm 1-for-3.
Okay, not bad. I have Gonzaga, so they sort of they survived last night. I have them over Kentucky in the final. That's my pick, so I'm sort of still alive, but I did have Purdue get bounced. I had them going to the Final Four.
Oof.
Yeah.
Tough day.
I know.
Tough.
Well, listen, you got to think outside the box if you want to win, right? What's up with Power Rangers? Why are they making news?
Well, something very close to my heart. The Power Rangers movie reboot hits theaters this week, and you can be seeing a lot more of the teenage stars in weeks to come because plans are already underway for a six-part saga, which is incredible. But interestingly, wow, this is the first big-budget superhero movie to feature an LGBT protagonist.
Of course. We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith, talking about what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. How about this guy with the Wheel of Fortune mishap?
Oh, my goodness. Well, for those of you who are not familiar with what happened, a contestant on Wheel of Fortune had a pretty tough day this week. He was one letter away from solving the puzzle. It read a streetcar in a blank ED desire. Theater fans know it's a streetcar named Desire, but he decided to spin the wheel again and landed on the $600 piece. When asked for the final letter, he answered K.
Yeah.
A streetcar naked desire.
An awkward silence ensued. Let me play a clip from this Selena Gomez video.
What's the coolest thing about your family?
How good we are at arguing.
In general, when do you feel most beautiful?
When I'm with the people I love.
Oh, for the love of Pete. I mean, are you telling me that this is trending right now?
It is one of our top trending YouTube videos of all time.
What?
This is Vogue's 73 question interview with Selena Gomez. And we get a rare glimpse at the pop star's private life.
Oh.
There's over 4 million views. We learned that her favorite thing about Texas is the people. Her first concert was Britney Spears,
mm-hmm,
and that she loves the Stanley Steamers jingle.
Yeah, that was some really riveting stuff that Vogue put together there with Selena Gomez. You made that up. That is not trending. You're pushing that video for some reason. Thank you, Charlotte. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith, always a good sport. 14 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Time for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Walgreens. With expert pharmacy care from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by and get the medications you rely on and supplies from all the major brands. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy. Even in a world with a pristine environment, no cigarettes, and the ability to fix faulty genes inherited from our parents, most of the cancers diagnosed today still would occur thanks to a combination of biology and bad luck. That's the takeaway from new research released yesterday. The LA Times says every new case of cancer depends on a collection of specific mutations in our DNA, and a sweeping study finds 66% of the mutations that put us at risk for cancer are the result of unavoidable errors made by cells as they copy themselves millions of times throughout our lives. The researchers in the journal Science say most cancer risk stems not from bad genes, environmental toxins, or poor lifestyle choices, but from simple, random mutations. That suggests there's little we could do to prevent cancers. That, of course, drew howls of protest from those who've spent careers establishing the powerful role that behavior change and pollution control can play in driving down cancer rates. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump expressed confidence in the GOP health care reform bill to a group of trucking CEOs.
And I think we have a very good chance, but it's only politics.
Well, it's a high-stakes politics game as House Speaker Paul Ryan sets a risky House vote today on the health care overhaul after President Trump indicated in a meeting last night he's done arm-twisting GOP holdouts and determined to pursue the rest of his agenda, win or lose. People who knew the Utah man killed in the London terrorist attack say he was generous and talented. Kurt Cochran was killed and his wife was injured during Wednesday's assault that took four lives and injured dozens. Prayer vigils have been held around London where Mayor Sadiq Khan vowed solidarity.
When Londoners face adversity, we always pull together. We stand up for our values and we show the world we are the greatest city in the world.
Eight people have been arrested in connection with attacker Khalid Masood, who was killed by police. Would you pay for Twitter? Twitter's considering a subscription-based premium service, surveying some users to gauge interest. It'd be aimed at business and power users. Utah's now has the strictest drunken driving threshold in the country. Governor Gary Herbert said lowering the blood alcohol limit for most drivers to 0.05% will save lives. The change means a 150-pound man would be over the limit after two beers, while a 120-pound woman could exceed it after a single drink. The NCAA college basketball tournament is whittling down. Four teams survived yesterday. Xavier, Gonzaga, Oregon, and Kansas are all now in the Elite Eight. Xavier head coach Chris Mack's 11th-seeded team upset second-seeded Arizona to advance.
Well, obviously an emotional game, a game I'm really proud of our kids, our guys. They battled tooth and nail.
The rest of the bracket fills out today. Wouldn't you love to lose those robocalls? The FCC passed a proposal that would give phone companies more power to block those annoying telemarketer calls. The proposal has to go through a public review period before a final vote is taken, probably later this year.
Yeah, they won't be missed. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Sometimes those phony IRS agents call the wrong guy, like when one of them left a voicemail on the cell phone of Kyle Roeder, a police officer in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mr. Roeder perked up when the message threatened him with arrest if he didn't call back. So to play along, he called back and recorded it. He spoke with a man with a thick accent who gave his first name as James Maxwell, then as James Johnson. When Officer Roeder called him out on it, he clarified that it's James Maxwell Johnson. The complete exchange was posted on Facebook and shared more than 84,000 times. The crook tried to get the cop to give him personal info or money. Then Mr. Roeder asked if he could just go pay his supposed fine at a local IRS office. Of course, he was told no. Now, Eau Claire police don't suggest people lead on scammers like Officer Roeder, but the IRS reminds us that it will never call to demand immediate payment, nor will it call about taxes owed without first having mailed you a bill. Nor will it demand you pay without giving you the opportunity to question or appeal the amount. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Paying off credit cards can get expensive, and getting a traditional bank loan can be a hassle. Now there's another way to get the money you need at a competitive fixed interest rate. Your loan through Avant could be approved in minutes. Now get a $50 Amazon gift card from Avant when your first installment is made on time. Check your rates risk-free. Go to Avant.com and enter promo code 9090 at checkout. That's www.avant.com, promo code 9090. Loans are made by WebBank. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.